Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. You want lunch in 15 minutes or less? You can get it at your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less.
The 15-15 deal. 15 bucks, 15 minutes, you get everything you need.
That's pretty incredible.
Not bad.
That's in this economy.
That's how you optimize your lunch.
That's how you optimize your lunch time and finances to a certain level. All right. Lots to get into today. Of course, we're going to have Yannick Hansen and a mailbag. It's a mailbag Friday on a Thursday because we're taking an early weekend. Thanks to the Abbotsford Canucks taking over the afternoon drive tomorrow. Abbotsford Canucks and Charlotte Checkers. Game one of the Calder Cup Finals tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock, and you'll hear every single game on Sportsnet 650. It's kind of cool. There's a chance for a trophy here in the Lower Mainland in professional hockey.
We might have champions in our midst, which we don't normally say in Vancouver.
And games 3, 4, and 5 returning to Abbotsford of this series. So that'll start Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday of next week. You'd like to see Abbotsford try to get a split here in Charlotte at the Bojangles Coliseum. What is Bojangles, by the way?
Is it a
fast food restaurant?
It's a fast food restaurant in Charlotte.
Okay. Yeah, it's like fried chicken and stuff like that.
Is it Mr. Bojangles? Like, that was a song, was it not?
It's like an old character, yes.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, it's one of those where I just want to be careful with this.
Okay. It's Bojangles Coliseum. Abbotsford and Charlotte tomorrow at the Bojangles Coliseum.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the open on Canuck Central where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest on the Vancouver Canucks, well, it's on Abbotsford. And Abbotsford is getting into the Calder Cup final tomorrow. They're in Charlotte right now preparing for game one of the series. But the latest, I guess, is continued speculation around the Vancouver Canucks. We mentioned on yesterday's show, as it was breaking, that Pierre LeBrun reporting the Canucks of any Canadian team are the leaders or have shown the most interest in Marco Rossi, that just the Canadian team. So that excludes any of the American teams that have potentially shown interest in Marco Rossi. But the Canucks have been the Canadian team with the strongest interest, that have shown the strongest interest in Marco Rossi, to the eye roll of Satyar Shah. But interestingly, the other part of Pierre LeBrun's reporting surrounded Elias Pettersson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the story of the offseason. It's been the story of the last 18 months, whether it's his poor play or the beef with JT Miller. Would he get traded? Would he stay? Would he sign the contract? I mean, there has been, you could power rank the amount of different storylines that have been around Elias Pettersson, especially over the last 18 months. Most of them not all that good, considering how good of a player he has been through the majority of his NHL career. But essentially, Pierre LeBrun confirming what a lot of us have thought and talked about here for the last little while, and really going all the way back to the trade deadline when the Canucks weren't getting great offers in exchange for Elias Pettersson, outside of maybe the Martin Nichas deal that fell apart because he went to Colorado and they made that swap for Mikko Rantanen. But most importantly, that the Canucks are going to continue on with Elias Pettersson. That is where the smart money is right now, that Elias Pettersson will remain a Vancouver Canuck. And really, it's the thing that makes the most sense. I'm not sure the Canucks have many other options in this situation. And ultimately, the question comes down to, Sat, do you still believe in the talent of the player? Because that is what matters most in this equation. You have to have some belief that the player can still get back to a level where he is a credible top 10, top 15 centerman in the league.
I still believe in the player's talent, because I just don't buy that a player of his level of talent just forgets how to play hockey.
Yeah.
Am I disappointed in Elias Pettersson? Yes. Have I lost faith in his process? Yes. Has my confidence been shaken? Also, yes. Like, all these answers are yes, but I still believe in the player's talent, because the type of talent he's shown, I don't think evaporates at his age. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. And given everything we've discussed, and you know, you saw what LeBron said, and also, you know, what we've reported too, from what we've heard, that the Canucks are open to moving Pettersson, but what they want in return is a significant package. And given Pettersson's play, he's unlikely to
get a significant package.
It puts you in a tough spot, right? Could things change? Perhaps, right? Like, that's why I've said all along that I'm not closing the door on Pettersson going anywhere. But I've said, even when JT and Pettersson were going through their thing, I said it's unlikely Pettersson gets traded for all these factors, right? And that hasn't changed. We'll see if anything comes that alters that equation in any way.
Does a team get desperate and be like, you know what, maybe we do like Elias Pettersson?
Yeah, or like something happens with a key star player of their own. Who knows, right? Like, yeah. A lot can happen over the next few weeks to months, right? It's still unlikely. But I still believe in the player's talent, and I don't think you have a choice but to roll the dice on his talent.
You don't. That's how I came to the conclusion that, well, Elias Pettersson's most likely going to remain a Vancouver Canuck, even amidst all the drama, all the discussion, all the trade rumors that have surrounded him for the last 12 plus months, because where are you getting a better player? Where are you getting the chance at a better player? You might be out on the idea that he can get back to those levels, and that's fine. You are within your right to have that opinion. But ultimately, the Canucks, and I know there's going to be people that are like, well, they should just tank right now and trade Quinn Hughes, trade Pettersson, and just move on and get it started from scratch again. Mm. That's not what the Canucks are going to do. That thought process, while I understand where it comes from, it doesn't necessarily live in reality, because that's not where this organization wants to go with this team and with this group right now. You're taking one last kick at the can with Pettersson and Hughes, because this has been the two franchise cornerstones that the previous regime was trying to build around, this regime has been building around. And yeah, there's more of a clock on it now than there ever has been, but this is where you're at. And with these circumstances, the best course of action is for the Canucks to bet on Elias Pettersson's talent, cross your fingers, and hope that he returns to form.
Yeah, and I see Mario in Richmond saying it's not about his talent. If you can't put it together between the ears, all the talent in the world is largely irrelevant. I don't disagree, but what other choice do you have? Mm-hmm. Because if you're trading Pettersson and taking a lesser potential players in return long term, well, you can kiss Quinn Hughes goodbye, most likely.
Yeah,
and you're really into that rebuild.
Yep.
Now, maybe if that's what you want, then you go ahead. If you want to trade Quinn, you want to trade Pettersson, you want to rebuild it, okay, fine. Like, you can make that type of argument. But you don't have many choices. Like, these are imperfect solutions to a problem that needs a lot of work to be fixed, right? So I just don't believe that you have much of a choice here. And I know Loud Titans fan says, Hughes leaving anyways. We don't know these things. I know people say this stuff. Like, we don't know this stuff yet. And stop being so cowardly and always saying, like, oh, just trade. Okay. Just give it a bit of a run here, right? Like, if Quinn Hughes had gone to the Canucks and said, I want out, then yeah, okay, fine. You trade him. But that hasn't happened. And if Quinn truly wanted out, he would have told him he wants out.
Yeah.
He may want out after next year. He may tell them he doesn't want to re-sign. But that conclusion has not been met. And we had a show last week. We played back something with Elliot. Talked about it. You weren't here, I think, when Bick was here. Last Friday before, I kind of forget, but he was on 32, Elliot was, and he kind of broke down, he was on Kipper and Bourne, and he kind of broke down a Pettersson thing, because I think it was Kipper and Bourne bringing up Pettersson and saying, well, bringing up Hughes saying, well, it may not matter, he may want out anyways, and they're like, and what Friedman said was, he's not sure he buys that. He's like, if the Canucks were actually good, if they could compete, and they had a chance to win, we wouldn't be speculating about Quinn leaving.
Yeah.
I think Quinn's giving them a chance here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as long as he's giving you a chance, you're going to see what you can do with that chance, right? Maybe you trade him next year, but nonetheless, maybe you get to that point. But you don't have many choices with Pettersson. So what do you do?
You
And I think you can't cut off your nose to spite your face. Yeah. And I know fans want that because they're so upset with Pettersson because the level of faith is so low. No, people don't believe in him anymore.
Yeah.
But you make a bad trade, you're cooked.
Yeah.
You might be cooked already,
mm-hmm.
but you're definitely cooked if you make a bad trade.
And just opening up the cap space isn't going to get you much. There's teams all over the league that have a ton of cap space. There's not a great free agent market. What are you going to do? Trade Elias Pettersson for a bag of pucks and then overpay Sam Bennett to be your number one center when he's never scored more than 60 points in his career? That's not a real solution. You're going to be further away than you are closer to where you want to go. So this is why, yeah, you're left with imperfect choices. You're betting on the talent that Pettersson has shown earlier in his career because you don't have any other choice. Your best and most likely pathway forward, if you are putting a math equation on this, if you're putting analytics on it, I guess, if you're putting a math equation on it, what's your best probability towards getting a top 10 center as early as next season into this Canucks organization? It's betting on Elias Pettersson mm-hmm. because you're not getting that in return in a trade for Elias Pettersson. If you draft that player, let's say you get, let's say in a theory world where Utah's like, we'll give you the fourth overall pick for Elias Pettersson, and that's something the Canucks would be open to doing. Well, yeah, you're drafting that guy, but when is he going to be good enough to become a top 10 center? And is he going to be a top 10 center anyways? Last I checked, the Detroit Red Wings have been out of the playoffs forever, and they don't have a top 10 center in the National Hockey League. The Buffalo Sabres had one, and they've been tanking forever. They traded that guy to the Vegas Golden Knights. There is no guarantees when you go into tank mode that you are going to get what you need. And ultimately, what you need to build a true Stanley Cup contender is a top 10 center in the league. And the Canucks' best course of action, most probable course of action towards getting that is betting on Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, and I see people texting in saying you're not talking about the potential downside if they want to keep him and he continues to suck. You have an anchor contract that keeps you out of contention for 8 years. To some extent, perhaps, but if you trade Pettersson and the team mm-hmm. gets even worse and Quinn walks, guess what, guys? It's going to take years anyways. Like, this whole idea of trading Pettersson for pennies doesn't solve anything.
No.
Like, you don't solve anything by doing that right now.
It expedites your rebuild is all it does. It expedites Quinn Hughes getting out the door.
And it's a really tough situation to find yourself in, right? Like, this is not a good situation. I'm not sitting here and saying this is great.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of what it is. So when we look at the Canucks and what they're trying to do to improve their team and add to their roster, we know they have a big priority to find another center, right? How big a priority should there be to find a legitimate winger then? A guy that can play alongside Pettersson and perhaps drag him into it, so to speak.
I think it should be a priority. They need, at the very least, two more elite players in their top six, right?
Because the wingers they have right now are complementary guys.
Yeah, you need to build two duos on your top six. We know that. They had and have had one duo for a number of years. During their Pacific Division winning year last year, they had at least the one duo in their top six. They had Miller and Besser that were crushing it. And didn't matter if Deej, Phil DiGiuseppe was playing with them or anybody else, they found a way to have success with Miller and Besser on the ice. With Pettersson, he found a mix with Nils Höglander, but it was a constant struggle. Yeah, you had stretches with Kuzmenko. You had stretches with Alex Chiasson. You had stretches with Nils Höglander. Like, Pettersson has had guys that he has gelled with and has had success with. That's why you get to, you know, a stage where you're able to command an $11.6 million contract in this league. And they just haven't really been able to find, ultimately, that staple next to Elias Pettersson.
No, they haven't. Now, again, the biggest problem is Pettersson himself. I'm not trying to say the reason for his struggles is not having a running mate. That's not the reason why, right?
Like,
we know that's not the reason why. They have to...
it's not the only reason.
No, right? And I get it. People say, like, you know, they're worried about the contract. The cap is going up, right? If you trade Pettersson and you get worse in return...
Yeah.
It doesn't solve anything for you. Cap space in and of itself does not matter. Assets matter more than anything. And again, if let's say you hold on to Pettersson and it goes pear-shaped and Quinn wants out anyways, the cap's going, you can find a way to work around things. It may suck. It might be difficult, but you're going through a long-term process anyways. You know, and I get it. Like, I trust me, I watch Pettersson more closely than anybody else does. Like, I rewatch games. I'm at every single home game. You know, like, we dive into all these sort of things. I see all the good. I see all the bad very closely, way too much of it. I feel whatever everybody else feels, but that's what makes it kind of tough. But the reality is you just get rid of him for cap space. Cap space does not have the same value anymore that it used to have.
Yeah.
Because the cap is going up. Every single team has cap space. So the space in and of itself does not matter unless you draw high-end talent to this market.
Cap space was king in the flat cap world. We are no longer going to be in a flat cap world beyond this season. It is going to go up exponentially over the next three at least.
I know somebody texted us, if you get an HS, sure. I mean, if you can get somebody back in return who can be an elite talent, I'm all for it. I don't know if that's available to you, though. Yeah. I'm not saying don't trade Pettersson. I'm saying don't trade Pettersson for crap.
Yeah.
Just because you're upset about it.
Yes.
That doesn't solve anything.
It doesn't. And I think, you know, the Canucks have... It feels as though they're trying to create a better environment for him to have success, right? They moved off of JT Miller. They got to the point where Jim Rutherford said, this can no longer go on. We have to make a move. They moved out JT Miller. Adam Foote has been pretty clear in how he wants to handle Pettersson, and he seems to have a more supportive tone with Pettersson than maybe what Rick Tocchet had, although I think Tocchet did have a pretty long leash with Pettersson considering how poor he's played over the last 12-plus months.
Let's say you trade Pettersson and you get some futures, a first-round pick and some prospect, right? And then you use that money to sign Brock Besser and Pugh Suter.
Yeah.
And you trade for Marco Rossi. What do you guys think of that Canucks roster? Is that a team that's going to be, you know, knocking on the door? Your first line center is going to be Marco Rossi. Second line center is Pugh Suter. Then Filip Hudl and Teddy Bluger.
You're going to be further away than anything else.
Brock Besser, Jake DeBrusk, and like, you're not going anywhere. It's you know, like, the only way you move forward is either rehabilitating a high end talent, or finding another high end talent back in return.
And that's where it's difficult for the Vancouver Canucks. All right, into the playoff central roundup. We'll get some of your texts here as well. Oilers are going to stay with Skinner in goal. I think I saw somewhere on Twitter somebody's calling him Mr. Game 4. He's never lost a Game 4 in his career. So
that's pretty good.
I don't know if you want to be, like, is Mr. Game 4 the guy you want to be? You want to be Mr. Game 7. That's pretty cool. That's Justin Williams, right?
Yeah, Mr. Game 4.
Or if you're James Shields, Big Game James, like, that's a cool nickname.
Yeah.
But Mr. Game 4? I don't know. Doesn't feel like it has the best ring to it. So Stuart Skinner, he's going to remain the Oilers' netminder, and Troy from Richmond, Stetcher's going to get back in here for Game 4 against the Florida Panthers. You'll hear that game against here on Sports at 6:50. Chris Kreider took the time. Maybe decided, are we going to live in Newport Beach? Maybe Laguna Beach? Mm-hmm. Are we going to have a pool? Be on a golf course? He accepted the trade to Anaheim.
He did. Yeah. And I mean, you look at the return now, though.
Yeah.
Is it a bailout, or is it the Ducks taking advantage of a situation?
Yeah.
Almost?
It's the Ducks, I think, betting that Chris Kreider still got a couple of good years in him at a very, very cheap cost.
Like, yeah. So, I mean,
essentially, it's a pick swap.
Third and a fourth, and a prospect that, if you start looking, you know, he was an overager in the
A
OHL.
Prospect that looks like he's stalled out a little bit.
Yeah, his production's gone down in the 2 years since he's been drafted. So they didn't really get much in return for him.
No.
It's just a contract dump, essentially.
But they did open up $6.5 million of cap space, and that can be valuable for a Rangers team that was almost more up against it than any other team in the league coming into the summer. There's been some speculation that they're going to be players for potential RFAs, like they're maybe thinking about an offer sheet for somebody. I know some of the insiders, and I'm not saying the insiders are wrong about this. I don't know how it computes given they don't have a ton of draft pick value, right? They don't have draft picks. They also don't have a ton of cap space. So, like, if you want to offer sheet JJ Paterka at over $11 million, you couldn't even do it because... Well, I guess you could. You'd give Pittsburgh their pick this year, and then you give up the next four first round picks to the Buffalo Sabres. But other than that, like their threshold is like the first and third round pick, which maxes out at $7 million. Good luck. You're not getting JJ Paterka for $7 million on an offer sheet.
And if you are, the Sabres are happily matching it.
They couldn't match it fast enough.
Yeah, like, great. We get to keep Paterka for seven.
Yeah, it would be like the Sebastian Aho one, where like the only reason the Canes didn't match it right away was because you know, they wanted to make the Montreal Canadiens sweat and be kind of hung in limbo for a week until they did it.
Obviously, you can always reacquire your picks. We've talked about this with the Canucks, for instance, because if they want to make some offer sheets themselves, they have to reacquire their third round pick for next year, 26,
right? Yeah.
So the Rangers could always do that. But I always find it really fascinating when people talk about this team offer sheeting somebody, and then you look at their picks and you're like, how? Like, have you looked at, you know, it's like, sometimes you should actually look at what they have available to them, right?
Like, what are they going to offer sheet? Like, at the no compensation era, like, level? Yeah. Because, like, I don't see where the offer sheet comes in. They don't have a second round pick. That kind of eliminates almost half the board on the offer sheet compensation
list. Is Paterka good enough for you to go the four first round picks? Probably not, right?
No. That might be something that Buffalo's like, you know what? I don't think we want to match that.
You'd be foolish to match it. So you're getting four first round picks. You don't have to pay a guy $11 million. Who hasn't proven he can play. He earns it $11 million yet, right?
Finally, Forsyth County, which is in the Metro Atlanta region, because otherwise nobody would know what Forsyth County is. Forsyth County in Atlanta has approved a $3 billion entertainment complex that they hope and believe will potentially house an NHL team. That is obviously, there's no like official commitment to expansion back to Atlanta from the NHL. But I mean, if you're building an NHL venue at the cost of $3 billion, I imagine an NHL team is eventually going to be there. Mm-hmm. And most people around the league seem to think that Atlanta is going to have a third kick at the can at having an NHL team.
So Atlanta, we're expanding to, mm-hmm. and then also expanded to Houston at some point.
Houston, I guess Kansas City's been in the mix for a long time.
Yeah.
Anybody who's going to text in 650-650 Quebec, pipe dream. No, it's not going to happen. Hate to break it to you.
I mean, Winnipeg, just you got to hold on to their own team. You know.
So like Kansas City and Houston have been two of the names that have been out there for a while, and obviously, I don't know if it's too soon, but Arizona is probably somewhere that the NHL is going to want to get back into.
We're going to go to 34 teams. Mm-hmm. The product's going to suck.
Well,
they're going to have to get to 36 to make it all even.
Ugh. Eventually, it'll...
Well, I mean, even number, yeah, but you can still have 17
18
teams
in each conference is what you mean?
Yeah, but you can have 17 in each conference.
Yeah,
still,
and go 34. But that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean...
It feels so weird. Two odd numbers? Nah.
Yeah. 36 teams, 34 is ridiculous. We're already seeing how watered down mm-hmm. teams are getting. Like one of the big reasons why it's hard to find talent, not because, you know, not only because teams are locking these guys up long term, there are 32 teams.
Yeah.
You add two more teams, go through it. It's like, you know, there are fewer top end players available now than they ever have been. And is the product going to be good enough?
Yeah.
I get why the league is doing it because it's a money grab, but I kind of feel like you're going to be expanding too fast and too soon for the product to keep up.
The thing about the product, okay, like I think for hockey purists, you'll notice a drop in the product. But one of the things that will happen is there are likely to be more goals.
Yeah.
And people love goals. Goals sell tickets. Putting up a lot of points, like when McDavid had over 150 couple years ago, those are good things for the National Hockey League.
I agree.
Yeah.
But given how less talented teams play in the National Hockey League, we're going to see like people reinventing the trap. You know, what do NHL coaches do? They try to win hockey games.
Oh, we're not as talented as that team? Okay, park the bus. Let's go.
I'm just skeptical.
1-3-1.
I got the 32 teams thing.
Yeah.
Like, and I get
I mean, ultimately, like,
you're getting there, but...
It's like everybody says, because the NHL has seven teams in Canada, that means there's markets in the U.S. Yeah. comparatively to the MLB, NBA, and NFL that they are not in that they could be in.
Absolutely. But you still need to have high-end players that can be
that can sell tickets,
in.
Especially in those... Like
look at Seattle, for instance, all of a sudden.
Yeah, the thing with Atlanta, too, is like, why hasn't it worked in the past? Because they couldn't build a winner. And if you can't build a winner, like, yeah, it's going to be tough to sell tickets.
It's also because their ownership sucked. Yeah. Previously. Yeah. And by all accounts, this ownership does seem pretty invested if it does happen.
Which we've seen is big for Vegas. Hasn't worked out for Seattle too much just yet. All right. So, yes, expansion is coming to the National Hockey League in the not-so-distant future. You can bank on it. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, JanPro from the boardroom to the break room and everywhere in between. JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. Coming up in the next segment, Yannick Hansen is going to join us on the hotline, powered by Power West Industries. All guests join us on the hotline, powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. Yannick Hansen, our Friday analyst on a Thursday, next on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.